there is a revelation. I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality. Something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that are passionate because.
This message by God's servant Apostle Judith will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name. I want to first of all appreciate my Father in the Lord for the opportunity to stand before you. And amen. So I count it a privilege. It is indeed a privilege to stand before great men and women. Amen. It's not because I'm greater. The greater one is Jesus. Amen. And it's not because I'm wiser, but I'll say it's still a privilege. So, what we'll be doing by God's grace is that we'll be trusting the Lord for revelation as we go through the scriptures. And we're trusting that the Lord will guide us and reveal His will. Reveal the knowledge of His word unto us so that in knowing we'll be able to interact, and in interacting we'll be able to become. In Jesus' name. We'll probably start with a key scripture that is very important. If you're a believer, one scripture that I don't know, but to me is a very important scripture that is always in my mind. This is Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It's one of my most powerful scriptures. So, and he says, let's pay attention. He says what? Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through faith. Now, I think the other day we were talking and I told us that something that is very practical here. I want us to pay attention so that we journey together through the scriptures. And I just don't want you to perhaps listen with your ears. I want you to believe the word of the Lord. Alright? Are we following? Yes, because when you believe the word of the Lord, it becomes what it is to you. It comes alive to you. Now, we understand from this scripture, verse 13, and if you trace it back to, I think, where is that scripture again? I think Deuteronomy chapter 21. Am I correct? We read it the other day. Okay, yes, I'm correct. Deuteronomy 21 verse 22. And he says, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, thou hang him on a tree. Venezes. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree. But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. And now here's the scripture, the key scripture. For he that is hanged is what? Accursed of God. It means that in the Jewish tradition, they understood according to the law that it is an accursed thing to hang a person. So it means that when a person is hanged, you would consider, perhaps if that person has sons or daughters, you will consider that family a family that is cursed. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? You consider that family a family that is rejected, a family that is dejected. You will, if you come to town and you want to count those persons that, you know, somewhere in the book of Isaiah, if it is not chapter 6, it will be chapter 9 or chapter 11, where he says that he was bruised for our iniquity. Chapter what? 53. Okay. So somewhere, that particular chapter, I think somewhere the Bible says that he was, as in he took a form of comeliness that you would not even appreciate. I don't know what I'm trying to say. So he had to pass through a process of being rejected, a process of rag and rejection and whatever you want to call it. Amen? So, and that is just for him to be able to bear the curse that was upon us. To bear the curse thoroughly that was upon us. Amen? So, let's go back to okay, this is 53 verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should do what? Desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Now, I want you to have a picture in your mind as we are going through this scripture. Of our Lord Jesus Christ being despised and rejected of men. In the heart of men, this one is a foolish person. So this one, his own story, let's not talk about his story. Amen. So a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. Then the next statement says he was despised and we esteemed him not. So go back to Galatians. So he says Christ had redeemed us what? From the curse of the law. If you read verses before this verse, it was trying to explain that the men that this law were given to were unable to keep it, as in the law was burdensome and wearisome to them. And being in that state, you know, I like to examine one of the ways to understand the scriptures is to read the whole of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. One of the ways to understand the context of the scripture sometimes is just try and read it from beginning to end. And get many pictures. Understand why certain things happen. Why did this happen? What happened after this happened? What happened after this happened? So, you understand that from here, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, you may now ask, what is the curse of the law that Christ has redeemed us from? It's literally the scriptures in the book of Old Testament. Even somewhere Deuteronomy chapter 28. We have them, a lot of them there. It's so many. There are too many of them there. And it now says, be made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the first thing is that there was what? A redemption. Christ came to do was redeem us. What does redemption mean? Redemption, if I'm correct, it means to buy from slavery. Are we feeling what I'm saying? It means to buy out from a location. So you are in a location where you are helpless. You are in a location where you are your own God. You are in a location where you serve your own selves. You are subject to the elemental spirits of this world. And they predict your future. They're able to tell you do this. They predict what comes for you, what comes around you. They predict your tomorrow. They orchestrate things and it passes from one generation to the other. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? So it now says that Christ had done what? Redeemed us from that regime. Then the next verse. Let's go to the next verse. The first thing that happened was what? A redemption. We were subject to curses. we are subject to something that is bigger than us, that we cannot redeem ourselves from it. If there is something that Satan is in the Bible, he is an accuser. He's an accuser of the brethren. He knows how to accuse. So much so that even when you struggle, when you fight to come out of slavery, when you try to push by your own strength, he knows how to accuse you in the presence of the Lord. He knows how to bring up subject matters. To say, this person cannot, this person should not, because his father did this, because... And then you have to understand that in the realm of spirit, there are legalities, and there are balances, and there are scales for balances. I feel what I'm trying to say. And I think one time, when our father in the Lord was teaching us about mercy, I don't know if it is either mercy or grace, that he told us that somehow, if you are experiencing a form of mercy in your life, it is two things. It is either you purchased the mercy, or someone else purchased it for you. Are you following what I'm saying? It's either somehow, somewhere, you did something that brought you into experiential, experiencing the reality of mercy. Somewhere in the book of Romans, the Bible says that God raised, you know, God is somehow. There is something, I think Romans chapter 9, something that baffles me. He says that he raised, what's his name? Pharaoh. He raised Pharaoh to show his finger, to show what he's capable of doing. Imagine you are growing and God is just keeping you, that one day he will show you Shege. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. God wants to show the world that he has the ability to do and undo. And they are just preparing you. You are growing, you are eating, you are getting fat. And in the day that God is ready, they will just bring you out and then they will design the handwork of God. You have to understand that after that incident happened, it lived for too many years, for many decades. Decades is 10 years, right? Even more than 10, 100 of years. Nations around, they heard what happened. That story was passing from many generations to the other, not just in Israel. Nations around them, the Philistines, they knew what God did to Pharaoh. They knew that story spread round. That the God of these people, he is dangerous. Oh, he's dangerous. What he did to Pharaoh, God actually prepared it in such a way that it will be a global news. Are you know what I'm saying? He actually prepared it in such a way that any ear that hear it will tingle. So in that same Romans chapter 9, this place said, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might shew my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And there are also certain persons that God raises to show forth his mercy. As you want to understand how God shows mercy, you want to understand the love of God, you want to understand what God is capable of doing, God just raised those people. If not for what perfect preach, that last time he preached, there is one scripture that I have read countless times, I still ponder, I have prayed with it. I have said, God, why did not Saul, why Saul? So why did he not receive mercy? Why? Because from that scripture, God tried many times to give him opportunities. It was not once, it was not twice. But at the Kairos moment, he will mess up. Hey, I say, Saul, why did you not prepare? It seems the story of Paul enters, the story of Saul enters me very well. So then, someone like David, God raised him to show what he's capable of doing. God raised him in such a way that he will be an emblem of the mercy of God. So much so that we now have what is called what? The sure mercies of David. And then, that's one. In this same, using this same scripture, if you go to someone like Abraham, you discover that if you read in the book of, and the men rose up from thence verse 16, sorry. Chapter 18, verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked forward and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Verse 17 says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18 is a very tremendous verse. It says, seeing that what? Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Seeing that Abraham shall surely what? Become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed what? What does it mean to be blessed in him? Seeing that Abraham had surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This one is still using in him. I want you to understand the practicality of this picture. Abraham is going to become a large and a strong nation. All the nations of the world are going to find themselves blessed through what? Him. When he says nation, he's not talking about country, he's talking about nation. People of common language and common culture. So, all the nations shall find themselves blessed through Abraham. When I read this scripture, what came to my mind is, how will, because what I'm reasoning now is, this is not just, this is a prophecy. And when we are looking at the nations, we are not just looking at me. I'm not looking at just the hidden nations. I'm looking at the kingdom or kingdoms under the kingdom of God. I don't know if you're actually familiar where I'm going. I'm seeing, just like the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 13, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and did what? Which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the largest, it is the greatest among herbs. And becometh a tree, so that the birds of the, first of all, it says that what? It is what? The greatest among herbs. Now, if you are trying to draw the line from that scripture, I'm trying to see how, or I'm trying to make us to understand that Abraham being a person, even though there are other explanations, you can say probably the hidden nations, Arabic nations, they find their, all of them find connection to Abraham. For me, the nations that I am seeing that found their greatness in Abraham, it is. Do you know that you are a nation? Let me start from there. Do you know that God makes nation out of his people? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Nations will be traceable to Abraham via one route, through a means, and that means is who? Jesus Christ. Now, I know we say the Jewish people, they are connected to Abraham, and they are great. That's true. We can also say the people of the, how do they call them again, Seth? The moon, yes, people of the moon, that they are connected to Abraham. And you also say that they are great. But what I'm looking at here is a prophecy of a capacity that is domiciled in the people that will finally find themselves in Christ Jesus. I feel I'm trying to say, ability for nations to arise, mighty nations, and all these nations will be traceable to Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. Okay. I want just to make an analysis. First of all, there is a redemption. There is a redemption. And after a redemption, there is also inheriting of promises. Amen? After we talk about redemption, the next thing we'll talk about is After we talk about redemption, we'll talk about inheritance. So redemption is unlike escape from the curses that have bedeviled us. Redemption in Christ Jesus is escape from the curses that have done what? Bedeviled us. Now, I need you to understand that if you don't commit these things to your understanding, if you don't commit this thing to your knowledge, if you are unable to trace how this thing pertains to you, you will be missing out a lot. You'll be missing out a lot. We are traveling far. I just need us to pay attention. The book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says that, how does he say it again? I am crucified with what? Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. For what? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and do what? Gave himself for me. Let's read another place. Colossians chapter 2 verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body, by joint and bands, having nourishment, ministered and nigh together, increased with the increase of God. The next verse. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, from the rudiment of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to what? Ordinances. The next verse. Touch not, taste not, handle not. The next verse. Which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. The next verse. Which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the sanctifying of the flesh. The next verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. The next verse. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is what? For ye are dead, and your life is what? Say, I am dead. And my life is hid in Christ, with Christ, in God. I wish you can actually write in this direction. We are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Everything that we are saying this evening, you will need to allow it to strike your heart so that it will really, really enter you. You will need to allow it to strike your heart. Because, first of all, you have to understand that there is a difference between the disciple and an unbeliever. It's very clear. There is a difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who is not a Christian. It also means that you need to understand that you are dead. It means that something happened to you the moment you surrendered your will totally. The moment you surrendered to Christ Jesus, something happened to you. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? Something happened to you. Even though physically, sometimes I go to evangelism, I told them, if I finish praying for you now, the hair you are wearing will not immediately change. The clothes you are wearing will not immediately change. All the contacts on your phone, they will still be the same. Everything around you will probably, the natural things will probably still be the same. But I need you to understand that in the spirit and in your heart, something has happened. A transformation has happened. A rebirth has happened. It is no longer the you. That is why I believe that message our Father in the Lord preached concerning baptism is very, very important. Because in many places where the Bible spoke about it, it says as many as have been what? Baptized in Christ. When it says baptized, it's actually referring to baptized. Immersion. Are you know what I'm trying to say? that a mansion is a physical representation of something that happened in Christ, something that happened in the spirit. Have you know what I'm trying to say? Yes. So, that moment that a person becomes born again, something transpires. And if really there was a repentance, the next thing that will follow is the joy of salvation. You will notice that you are no longer the same. Something will tell you. There will now be a drive, depending on the place you find yourself, the conclave or the fellowship you find yourself. You will now begin to notice a drive, desire to want to know God more. You will not want to grow deeper in the knowledge of what has happened to you. So, and then over time, by the ministration and by the workings of the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost will now by himself tell you, drop this one. Even by instructions, you will now start dropping. Now tell you, these contacts you have been keeping, these things you have been keeping, I have start dropping them. You will now, with time, start dropping them over time. That one is just in the natural, things are going to change, but in the spirit, something has happened. What I'm trying to explain to us is what actually happened in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. What actually happened when he says that Christ has redeemed us? Do you know what happened to you that very day? I know many of us, probably you have stayed 10 years, you have been a Christian, you've been going to church for many years, but a lot of time you need that reality to hit you again. So you know that you are not the same person that you used to be. So you know that you are now a different being. You need to be able to differentiate. Eh? Know that this man now belongs to God. This man now has been separated. This man now has a different lineage. Are you know what I'm trying to say? This man now, you can no longer trace him to Satan or Adam. You can now trace him if you want to trace. Like there was a tracing in the book of Matthew. Say, Abraham chapter 1 begat this. This one begat this. This one begat this. They did begat to David. Begat to Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, if you now start doing the begat of you, you will hear begat Jesus. And then Jesus do what? Yes. So, first thing that happened was what? Christ has redeemed you. You are no longer the same person you used to be. Even though physically your cycle might still be the same, over time you will change them. But something happened, you are no longer the same. Many times, if you don't understand this thing, you can... One time, I came back with my laptop somewhere in Abuja, and the laptop was spoiled. And I kept it on the table. I told my brethren, they've declared this laptop dead. I need us to pray on this laptop so that we resuscitate it. They started laughing. I said, that laugh is a laugh of doubt. It means that thing you have been thinking, that you know and you believe, you don't really believe it. Are you know what I'm trying to say? That laugh you are laughing is showing that something in you is saying, ha, 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 are you sure? This thing will it work? We know now. Oh, God. I say someday, I've forgotten, I was somewhere. And it seemed as if I was dying. I called a brother, please pray for me. The brother did as if he did not hear me. Somehow he's telling him, I'm not a pastor. You need to be a pastor to pray. You don't understand that Christ had redeemed you. You don't understand that there is now a demarcation between who you used to be and who you are now. Amen. Just like our Father in the Lord was teaching us about the basics or the foundational doctrines. I think it's Hebrews chapter 6, right? Foundational doctrines. Hebrews chapter 6. This one now is something that even when you are growing, it is foundations are pillars. You always meet them. You can't do without them. If you are going up, you meet the foundation. And if you go to the third floor, or the pillar that comes from the ground, we reach to the highest floor. The highest floor is still connected to that pillar. Those foundations, Anywhere you are, you still need to always connect to it. You need to, the knowledge and the revelation of it, it needs to always be afresh. It needs to always be afresh. So, the first thing is what? Christ has done what? Redeemed us. That one is now escape from the curse. That one is now, you are being bought. You are being bought. Then the next thing is now what? The next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, you used to have an inheritance. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? You used to have an inheritance. Your inheritance is sin. It is the curses of the law and all that. But then, when you were redeemed, you were brought into a new family, into a new clan, as Victor used yesterday. So into that new clan, you now have to start finding, what are my inheritance in this clan? What belongs to me in this place? I'm trying to say that it's possible that, yes, you have been redeemed. But even after you have been redeemed in your redemption, you still do not know that this place you have been brought into now, that there are certain things that are pertaining to you, certain inheritance that belongs to you. Just like Psalm chapter 16 verse 6 says that, it says, lines are falling onto me, chapter 16 verse 6, are falling onto me what? It now says, ye, I have a goodly, somebody say, I have a goodly heritage. You need to understand what your inheritance is, first of all. Understand what your inheritance is before we start going to promises. Understand what your inheritance is. Understand what your inheritance is. Because those things, they are all captured there, but let's just be going slow, slow. Ye, I have a goodly heritage. Ye, I have a goodly heritage. So, now, coming into the place that we have found ourselves, there is something that stands out in that place. One thing that stands out is the fact that, just like this scripture says, that we have a goodly heritage. And then something else that stands out is that we are now of a different clan. We are now coming from a different... We now a different seed is now finding you. You now have a different identity. You now have a different identity. Oh God. In my family group, I posted my last born, I posted this picture. And when I posted this picture, that picture of many years ago, the guy was too very young. I said, when Obi was a boy. Then the guy now posted his recent picture of when he's dressed fine and big and all that. He now said, Obi is no longer a boy. He now wrote, Obi is now a king. I said, how did this guy know that he is a king? This thing struck me. Because there is one revelation that I have of myself that nothing can ever delete it. Is that God has called me to be a king and a priest. I even have time to say. So when he said that thing, the thing struck me. And me personally, I have realized that many believers, they don't have this revelation of who and what God has called them into. They don't have the revelation of the circumference, the possibility that is resident in the circumference where God has brought them into. And let me tell you the fact, until you have the revelation of these possibilities, you will just be living a normal, I will not use normal, you will just be living the life that is lower than what God have actually ordained for you. Now, what we are trying to find is this, the promises of God. We are trying to find the promises of God. I want us, let's just quickly go to the book of Genesis. We'll read some scriptures and we'll read it very fast. Genesis chapter 12. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Somebody say, get thee out of thy country. Now, and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will do what? Show thee. And I will make thee, I will make of thee a great nation. I discovered that before we got to chapter 12, this is something that has been in the heart of God, that he was trying to raise a man. He was trying to raise a great man, a man that would be an emblem. We will still discover something about Abraham, but God was trying to raise a man. And something stood out from here. Something stood out here. And what stands out here is that the scripture says that God said to Abraham that he should do what? Get thee out. It began first of all with an instruction, of which I believe that it was probably not Abraham that got that instruction first. I feel I'm trying to say, what differentiates men, what keeps men different, it is the ability to pick the voice of God. No, hi. Just like our Father in the Lord, you see the way we are now moving with this groaning thing. Are you trying to tell me that that broadcast, that it was just for him alone? I'm sure that broadcast, it was for too many persons. But only men that have the ability to pipe into the echoes that are in eternity and find alignment very fast. Only men that know how to understand that these things, they are tangible things. I will not joke with it. I will not miss my target this time around. Only men of those caliber have the ability to pay attention and to obey the instructions of God. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be what? The next verse. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. The next verse. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Now, Genesis chapter 14. I need us to take note of several blessings that were proclaimed in this place. Now, these blessings, as we saw them, God was saying, I will do what? I will make thee. It was pointing to Abraham. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make what? Thy name great. And thou shalt do what? Be a blessing. All this was pointing to Abraham. Then, Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. Are we there? And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dell. I want us to be taking, there are certain points we bring out from here. And then verse 18 says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the what? The Most High God. Then what next did he say? So this was referring to who? Abraham. And he was speaking to Abraham directly. He called Abraham what? The possessor of heaven and earth. If Abraham is the possessor of heaven and earth, it means that if a rod or a stem will come out from the root of David and rule the earth, that rod has to be traced to this man that has become the possessor of heaven and earth. I feel what I'm trying to say. So first of all, God needed to build a structure, needed to build a system, that if blessing should be conferred on any other person, that blessing now have to be first of all, God needed to make Abraham a blessing personified. He needed to make Abraham what? a blessing personified. So, and the kings of Sodom, okay, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemy into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of what? Of all. Let's read Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, what? Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. This is another blessing that came to Abraham. He said what? I am thy shield. And what? Let's go to Genesis chapter 17. The reason why I'm reading out this place is I want you to see the relationship between God and Abraham. At this point, God have not yet mentioned seed of Abraham yet. The blessing has just been on what? Abraham and Abraham. So Genesis chapter 17. From verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2 says, I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings, somebody say kings. I know when you said that kings, I was one of them. I know, it's just personal, but I know those kings, I was one of them. And kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Okay. We'll read again. I think we've read chapter 18, right? Where it says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in what? In him. So let's read chapter 22. Let's read from verse 15. We know what happened here. We know what happened after God said to Abraham that he should go up to. And Abraham, okay, he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, somebody say the third day. So it means that Abraham journeyed for how many days? On those 3 days, what was going on in the mind of Abraham? In my own mind, as Abraham is journeying, he'll be reasoning. I'm waiting for this God one day. I don't understand. I believe the reason why God had to tell him to go to a place that is distant like that is so that God will give him chance to change his mind. If you want to change your mind now. That's why the man is called the father of faith. I don't know the substance that was backing up his faith, but it's a strange one. So, verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and has not withheld thy son, thine only son. So before we arrive at this place now, you have to understand what happened there. God swore by himself. And Bible said that he did not withhold his son. It means in the eyes of God, the son have already been what? The son have already been sacrificed. He now said that in blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will do what? As the stars of heaven. And as the sand which is upon the seashore. And he now says, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. This is one of the places that I'm very sure it was not referring to Isaac. It says, thy seed shall do what? Possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 18 says, and in thy seed, somebody say thy seed. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. The evangelist was speaking yesterday, and he was opening our hearts and our eyes to too many things. And those things that he was opening our eyes to, they are all realities. Because the fact that you are not walking in them does not mean that they are realities. In fact, one thing that I believe, I read this thing, I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. Like the Holy Ghost showed me this thing, I'm very sure of it. I was reading through the Old Testament and I saw it again and again and again and again. That God works in a certain pattern. God works in a certain way. And that way is that the people that God calls to himself, God makes them strong and great. Even if initially they were feeble men, God usually brings them to a point that they will become great. And at the peak of it, you will become the world power. At the peak of it, Solomon became the world power. Is it not true? When they started going against the law, that was when they started falling and all that. Did you not read it somewhere in the book of Esther chapter 6? Where they said to, is it Haman? What's his name again? Yes, they said to him that if this man you are fighting now is of the seed of the Jew, there is a problem. It means that your downfall has started. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? So, it is repeated in the scripture that there is a pattern. And that pattern is that God is working from eternity, and there is something that he wants to do. And he has been using men, and usually he will call forth men. When he calls out men, one of the first things he will do is he will first of all equip them with the knowledge of who they are. Equip them with something, with strength. He will first of all rid them of feeble-mindedness. He will first of all bring them to a place where they are made strong in the Lord. Are we following what I'm trying to say? We saw it all throughout the scriptures. In fact, there is a scripture that, yesterday when evangelist was preaching, I was sitting close to a brother. From almost everything evangelist was saying was what I had written down on my journal concerning this topic. Who was sitting close to me? Bro, what's his name again? Eze Bunafo. I was showing him this thing is in my journal. He quoted the scripture. I said, see, the scripture is in my journal. The same thing I wrote is the same thing he was preaching. Amen. And so, he now quoted the place in the book of Luke, where the Bible says, ought not this woman being what? I need us to read that place. Actually, it needs to be a memory verse. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. And he says what? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. Now, The premise on which this woman is being delivered is not because of anything. The premise on which this law of on which Jesus Christ is doing this thing on the Sabbath day is because they see that Jesus Christ knew that it was an error, or it is an error for a seed of Abraham to be bound by Satan. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? There are times that when Papa calls prayer point, I used to pray with this scripture. I was saying, and ought not the seed of Abraham. Well, sometimes when I'm praying for my certain people, when I'm making intercession for certain people, I'll say, God, and ought not this person being a seed of Abraham, whom Satan had bound for this many years, to be delivered? Ought not this person? Does not this person need deliverance? How can this person be a seed of Abraham? Be in this situation. Being in this situation. Now, it means that there is such a thing, there is a blessing that is attached to the person of Abraham. And these persons, the Jewish people, they were able to pipe into this blessing, being seen or being heirs, or will I call them children of Abraham in the natural. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? Being what? Children of Abraham in the natural. So they have, they are entitled to too many promises. Even during our Bible study in the morning, someone said that Jesus Christ said something, and then the Pharisees, they responded to him. These persons, they were under bondage. They were, okay, they were under the rule, the Roman rule. And they said to Jesus Christ that they have never been in bondage before. So it means that despite the fact, but they still see themselves that they are not under bondage. They are not under. They still see themselves as a seed of Abraham. It's not possible. Even though you might look around and it seems massive, but I know that the way it is for me, there are many things I want to say. It's just that I feel that this topic is only Papa that can preach it. Hey. So anything I say, just bear with me. I'll preach in my own capacity. So, I just want to bring out many points now. We saw, even in the book of Ruth, I want to just touch a few things I've said before, because these are the things that adds my own faith. They are the things that the Holy Ghost have taught me personally. So, even in the book of Ruth, I noticed that when Ruth and Naomi, it's not Naomi, her mother-in-law, when they came back to the Israelites, when they came back to their land, that the means or the system by which they were being sustained, oh God, I don't want to go here, is what they call gleaning from the field. And we know what gleaning means. It means that these people, they have a system that when they go to farm, that God taught them through the law that they should leave what? They should leave substance. I'm telling you, an Igbo man would not do it. You go, you farm, you leave some yam in the farm so that someone will come and can you do it? When God was training these people, he taught them in such a way. You know, I said this thing before when I spoke about the year of Jubilee. God trained them in such a way. God, please give me grace. God trained them in such a way that they need to understand who God is to them and how God has fashioned himself to provide for them that they cannot lack. That was why anytime in the wilderness they are murmuring, God does not understand why and how they should murmur. Why should you murmur? Are you what I'm trying to say? Now, the means by which Ruth and Naomi were surviving those times was that they would go to the farm of Boaz. And as it is the pattern or the system in Israel those days, that when you go to farm, you will remain some. So it means that your eyes should not be evil. Are you feeling? You should live in such a way that you make room for strangers. You make room for even orphans. Make room for people that do not have a way for them to survive.
That was when we spoke about the year of Jubilee. I told you that God said to them that they should have such a thing as the year of Jubilee. In that year of Jubilee, anybody that is owing you, you do what? You forgive the person. And somewhere in the book of Leviticus, when it was explained the year of Jubilee, it now told them that maybe someone comes to borrow from you. And you know that year of Jubilee is closer. And then you will reason, this person will not have time to pay me. That you may not want to borrow him this thing now. You will say, let me know. But the Bible said that you should not do like that. That let not your eye be evil, but you should give to him. It means that he was trying to train them to be know the blessing that is attached to Abraham. That blessing has the capacity to provide so that you will not lack. I feel what I'm trying to say. So, there was a pattern. There was a pattern that God used to train these men. There was a pattern. Anywhere they went, anywhere they go, the fact that being a seed of Abraham, the fact that they are connected to Abraham, their life was, there was always miracles around their life. Go and read it. If you are reading it from book to book, you will see it in the life of Joseph. See it in the life of Daniel. See it in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See it in, go and read all those books, one after the other. You will see it in different places. That these men, it seems as if they are of a different breed. Anywhere they enter, there is something spectacular about them. There is something peculiar about them. Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? So, now, when we come down to the book of Genesis chapter 22. After he had done that thing, God now swore. And that was where he now made a promise to his seed. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. There are four blessings that I can actually pick from here, and I trust that perhaps we'll be able to look into it. Let me see the next verse, if there is something there. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, probably verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he said not unto seeds as of many, pay attention, but as of what? One. But as one. And to thy seed, which is what? Christ. Let's see the next verse. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of what? Non-effect. I want us to go to the last verse of that very chapter. And if ye be Christ, ye are what? If ye be Christ, ye are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. There is one promise, the promise given for the seed. But inside that promise for the seed, there are promises. That is where we now found the promises of God, to my own understanding. That is where we now found the promises of God. I want us to quickly go through the scriptures. Let's read. Okay. Go back to that Genesis. Just hold it. Genesis chapter 22. The place it says, and in blessing I will bless thee. First of all, other places that God was blessing Abraham, God will say, I am blessing you and all that. But here he says something. In blessing, that is one, I will do what? Which is no, what? Which is what? Double blessing. Pay attention. He says that in blessing I will do what? In blessing I will do what? When we talk about double portion, what does it mean? Our Father the Lord made us understand that double portion is the portion of the firstborn. Is it not true? So I believe that this blessing now is the portion of Jesus Christ. He says that, I think this was a place where God gave him the promise. That it was after he fulfilled this thing that Jesus Christ was now, that the seed now came into place in blessing. There is an overflow. This blessing now is a blessing of grace. Is a blessing of a dispensation of grace. I don't know. Eh? But in blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. So you can also say, in blessing, I will bless thee, and I will bless thy seed. And in multiplying, I will do what? Multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. This is the seed, that seed, Jesus Christ. This is that seed, Jesus Christ, that we all have been captured inside of him. You and I, we have been what? We have been captured. We have been captured inside of that seed, Jesus Christ. I now said that this seed has the ability to possess the gates of his enemies. Did we see this thing happen in the life of Jesus Christ? Did we not see Jesus Christ possess the gates of his enemies? I think it's not in 1 Corinthians where they say that if the princes of this world had known. Is it not true? So, the first blessing is the blessing of grace. Eh? I'll put it that way. Is the double blessing or the blessing of grace. The second blessing is the blessing of multiplication. Another parable, Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, verse 33. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. A lot of time they will tell you that Jesus Christ, that Christianity is white man religion. It's not true. How many persons have heard it? In many places of the world that is developed now, how civilization started was that Christianity, men of God, first of all, rose up in that town and started building schools. It did not start in Africa. It is everywhere. That seed has the ability to multiply. Anywhere it is planted, it has the ability to make that nation to begin to flourish over time. Are you know what I'm trying to say? So we now see people that it has made them probably, they have now seen many things and they have deviated. And then you are saying that we are cleaning ourselves in prayer and all that. So the second promise is the promise of multiplication. It means that this seed has the ability to multiply anywhere it is planted. Anywhere it comes in. It has. Look at what the Bible says. It says that it is like a living that what? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a living which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. 3, the whole was what? So that seed, they just carry it, hide in one place. Did you not know when we wanted to study, when we wanted to rent this place? You remember? We used to be 7, 6. I told my boss, want to use this place. I was walking downstairs there. He said, how many are you? I told him. He said, if we should go and look for one warehouse and start. I'm telling you. And all of a sudden, finally, we did, and we rented this place. We started 7, 8, 9. It is that seed. It has the ability to multiply anywhere it's planted. Over time, it will just be growing. As far as that seed is there, it's like it's the living. It will just allow it. I'm telling you, even in your family, it seems as if they are not becoming born again yet. Eh? Just ensure that every day that you are paying the price of alignment. You are a seed. Something is happening, whether you know it or not. Because one of the threats that is buried in that seed is that anywhere it comes, it will multiply. It will surely multiply. Eh? This gospel you see now God has committed into our hands, it will multiply. is over time as we are doing it. Every day it is spreading. One day somebody will message you and say, I need the grace of God upon my life. So you have been preaching to someone that one Yahoo guy I preached to in Abuja then, saying come to service. So the guy refused. I saw messaging him. I was here. The guy messaged me saying, please, you need the grace of God upon his life. I said, okay. There was a time I called you to our location and we did Bible study. He said, yes. I said, go to that location again. He came. Anthony held a fire service that day. Anthony showed me a video of where the guy was crying and groaning on the floor. He came with his friend. Wait, friends. So, the guy, first of all, I did not ask Anthony. I just asked him, bro, how was the service? He said, I did not know. His English is bad. I did not know what happened, but Holy Ghost move. He touched me. I did not know how I fall on the floor and I said, before Anthony, now I chatted Anthony. He now sent the videos to me. I saw where him and his friend, they are praying and groaning. I said, this is it. Because the main thing, just keep it. Once that seed is there and you are brooding upon it, the groaning is going. It will be increasing. As you are groaning, it will be increasing. In any sphere, it will be increasing. Whether Satan likes it or not. And that is one thing that Satan is fighting, why he does not want you to understand the threats. What is captured in this seed. Now, Satan knows that the day you discover it, that you will begin to push. So, because of time, another one is possess the blessing of possessing the gates of the enemy. Possessing the gates of the enemy. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. What? This is a blessing that the seed of Abraham possesses. That was why you see Satan fighting, was killing too many seeds, as our Father in the Lord taught us. Because he knows that seed now has the ability. That once it balances well, whether not balancing well, once that seed is there, all things being equal, it must possess the gates of the enemies. You know, you need to equip yourself with this mindset. Very, very important. You need to, because it will aid your intercession. It will aid your prayers. When you are praying, you know that there is a reality about your life, and that reality, there is a fact about your life, and that fact is that you are destined to possess the gates of your enemies. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it might take time. But one thing is certain. You will possess the gates of your enemies. Once you keep pressing, once you carry on that reality and you are running with it, refuse to look back. Refuse to believe any other testimony of Satan. Refuse to believe any other report. You keep running with that. Says that in the book of Revelation chapter 12, where it says that a war broke out in heavens and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. It says, and now is wrought salvation and strength for the kingdom of our God. Can we go there? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is what? cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. My point here is actually in verse 10. Where he says, go back to verse 10. And now is come salvation and strength. This is a testimony that I believe that we become your own testimony. Eh? In every sphere of your life, a day will come, you say, and now is come salvation and strength. Why? Because you stood and you prevailed. You stood your ground. And you refused to back down for Satan in your family. Refused to back down for Satan even in your destiny. Refused to back down for Satan even in the church. I'm telling you, you see this seed, we will conquer the world. With the gospel, yes. We will enter the gates, we will possess. I just know that once we continue pushing it, we continue pushing it, it's expanding, something is happening. Irons are being bent, and walls are being broken down. And even as we ended 24 hours, we don't know why, you don't know, but mountains fell in the spirit. Walls were shattered by that prayers. That seed needs to expand and is expanding, is growing. And the reason why I'm telling you is because in as much as this is kingdom context, it is also in personal context. I even am saying, it's also in personal context as you keep on pressing. There was something that I wrote in my journal. I write a lot of confession in my journal actually. I use it for prayer. This is what I wrote. I wrote that I don't know how you see me or how people see me, but there is a sight that I have of myself from the lenses of God and the scriptures, and I pay every price to protect that sight. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is something that I see about myself from the lenses of God and from what? Sometimes distractions will come. Sometimes Satan will come. I'm telling you. Sometimes things can happen and you want to question yourself. Am I still a seed of Abraham? Are you sure that I'm still connected? But I'm telling you, this thing is sure. Just as Rob Victor said it yesterday, it's very, very true. It's very, very true. I'm trying to tell you that even while you are walking here, you can be receiving from people, and it is not, if the only way you are making money is by profit and gain, it means you are still poor. I'm telling you, if this revelation strikes you, and then you learn to operate as a seed of Abraham, because the way it works many times is that you have to, I started doing that thing my father and the Lord says he does, that sometimes if, even since I came here, and we clear like that something came. The next day, another one will enter. I don't need to make call. I will clear again, it will enter. I will clear again yesterday. Another person says, send your account number. I sent. How are you traveling? I said, I don't know yet. Sent another one. Like, it's daily. Like, so. What I know is that the system I like to operate is that I will always make it a confession. I know some of you don't do it, but it's my own will. I ensure that I pay my tithe. I ensure that I don't miss my first fruit. I ensure that I give my offering. And then when in doing it, those things that are promises in the book of Malachi, if you go in the notes in my phone, it is pegged as upside. Because sometimes I read it out to myself. He says that, and he will give you a blessing that there shall not be no room to what? Contain. Because you pay. So sometimes I read it to myself. And he says that he will rebuke what? The devourers. And so, even if you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, where he said you will be the head and not the tail, he now said that you will be what? Above only. And then, I'm trying to say that, if you do business with these scriptures, they don't fail. once you learn to operate as a seed of Abraham, what I mean by that is that you should learn how, even through your bowels, people should drink from your system. Financially, even gospel-wise, how many persons are you discipling? If I ask you now, how many persons do you ensure that these persons grow in Christ on a daily basis? Because it's a means of multiplication of the gospel. You need to ensure that. I don't know what I'm doing, but many times, it always happens when I post, message all the person that I ensure that they are growing in the Lord, that I keep, how many scriptures have you read? Okay, listen to this. Once I'm done, that's usually when a lot enters. I don't know why God does it that way. I don't know if he's encouraging me to say, keep on, ensure that these persons are growing in me. I don't know. Eh? But then, I'm trying to say that if God is your employer, he has a way of sustaining you. And not just about if he's your employer. If you come into that revelation of the fact that you are a seed of Abraham, it works. Now, I want to give us this final thing because of time. It's a testimony. And the reason why I'm giving that testimony is because I know that at any point, if you decide to stand by the word of God and refuse to say no to the word of God, that it will always work. It will always work. The reason why men are shaking out, I say, I'm seeing it every day. I put a laptop, say pray, and they are laughing. Why are they laughing? They are not seeing the reality that this thing is possible. You need to start making it practical. Let these things become practical to you. I know what I'm saying. Let these things become practical. Be trying it. See, there is one I know I'm trying. I've been trying it many times. It's personal divine healing. I've done it again and again and again and again and again and again. Again, again, again. It's close to 3 years now. I've not taken drugs. And you used to hear, that's why if Papa is talking about you here and they say something, people laugh. Keep it to. If you hear Papa, you say, I used to go to take drip. Papa, I've said it about me 2 times. That during 24 hours, I'm taking drip because I'm sick. Ha! That testimony, God needed to change it. I was going with Mama Dema one day to evangelism, and she said that she has not fallen sick for long. She doesn't take. I said, me, I'm fighting to enter this thing, and I've not yet entered it. But I know. So I kept on pressing. I kept on pressing into this thing. Kept on pressing into it. In Jesus' name. I want to round up by saying, if you hold God to his word, he will always answer. The reason why you are not getting results is because you have not decided to hold on to this thing and not let go of it. If you hold on to one of God's promises and you stay on it by groanings, by prayers, if you run with God's word, it does not fail and it cannot fail. I want you to open your mouth now and make a prayer. Ask the Lord to bring you into the revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. Connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edugbu Dejiku. Send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edugbu Dejiku. God bless you.